Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Mark, I've been saying for years that Ping help you play your best, because that is exactly what they've done for me throughout my entire career. And now I've been having a look at the new Blueprint S and T irons, and boy, they are impressive. So much so that I've got the new Blueprint S irons in my bag at the moment.
So what do you like about them so much? I mean, I've never seen you this excited about a golf club.
Well, I could go through the specs, which are exceptional, but I won't. I will say, though, that if you're looking for more ball speed, and if you want to lower your scores, if you want to mix and match and still look great, you should check them out. Because the new Blueprint S and T irons, they are definitely worth a look.
Nice.
Just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting.
Welcome to the most listened to Australian golf podcast. This is Talk Birdie to Me, and it's week 19 of the golfing year. Today, we're live from the Peter Thompson Room at the Australian Golf Centre, home of Golf Australia and the PGA of Australia. And as usual, big thanks to the team at Ping. They'll help you play your best. You can see your local golf shop or professional and arrange a Ping club fitting. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. Sam and the team beat everyone's prices. Drop in and see them in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. And to the new Watch My Numbers app. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world. You can download from the App Store or Google Play. Play smarter and use your data. Now, former world number 16 Nick O'Hearn and former Tour Pro Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
I'm playing your place this week.
Which cathedral?
Yeah, how many golf courses are you a member of?
Well, the National.
Yeah. Woodlands.
Matt Lawley.
Woodlands, yeah. and Cathedral.
Yeah, I'm playing Cathedral. I'm playing Cathedral.
Nice.
And
are you going by a car or are you taking the chopper?
No, I'm taking the chopper. Yeah, we're getting the chopper.
Rockstar stuff.
And I won't say who's hosting because I haven't got permission to say those things. Okay. I know how golf clubs are, but... you know what I did? Because people are looking after me, I decided to get the people I'm playing with a gift. They're all football people.
Yep.
So Titleist have the ability to print whatever number you want on the ball.
Love it.
So I'm getting a few... It's a very, very good service.
Great idea.
Isn't that good? Now, people, AFL people out there will know, I'm putting number 16... on a ball for one of them. I'm putting number 42 on a Titleist for another. And the other bloke's not getting anything. I've looked after him with golf clubs.
Here's a question for you. If you could have your... What number would you have on the ball?
I'd have 16 as well. Number of premierships Collingwood have won.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. You? Right. What would you do?
I'd go 33.
Why 33?
Larry Bird.
That makes sense.
I love Larry Bird. He's fantastic.
Have you seen those docos with Larry and Magic?
It's so good.
The one that's about three, there's three of them. It's so good.
Brilliant. Those two, they changed everything.
They did. They changed absolutely everything, as are Ripper GC.
Oh, they are.
You and I were laughing at Ripper GC last year because they were hopeless.
Yeah.
And now they have gone back to back.
Well, they weren't hopeless. They were just struggling.
No, they were hopeless. Okay. Nick. They were finishing second half of the teams every single week.
Well, the team that is hopeless is the Majestics at the moment.
Who's in that team?
Oh, yet? I think it's they got four captains, I think.
Oh, okay.
They might have, is it Stenson and Westwood and that team? I'm not sure. Okay. I'll have to look it up.
The oldies team.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Henrik's he's really not playing well, is he, Henrik?
Well, when he first went across, he was delisted as Ryder Cup captain for going to live, and then he won straight away.
Yeah.
Obviously, that got the juices flowing, but they've been struggling.
Did he actually shoot the greatest ever final round in an Open Championship, the 63 against...
Greatest weekend, I think.
Was it the greatest weekend?
I think. Well, it was. It bettered the duel in the sun. Remember that back in 77 with Watson and Nicholas at Turnberry?
Listener, If you haven't seen the Jewel and the Sun doco, you're not welcome on this podcast anymore. Off you go. Or have a listen to it, have a watch of it, and report back next week via our socials. The Jewel in the Sun doco with Jack Nicholas and Tom Watson at Turnberry in 1977. No, it wasn't 1977. 1976, 1975?
77.
77,
thank
you. It was 77. Right. It was unbelievable.
I just found out who's on the Majestics. It's Ian Poulter, Lee Westwood, Henrik Stenson, and Sam Horsfield.
Okay. Old, yeah. old, and not so old, but yeah, not going so well.
Sam's a member, I think, at my old club in the US, Isleworth.
Is he?
Yeah.
Right. I'll get back to Isleworth.
Okay.
A little bit later.
All right.
In the show. Brooks wins 4. Good on him.
Yeah. Very impressive.
Yeah. Good on him.
Becomes well the third Live player to do so.
Yeah. Have you played that golf course?
Sentosa, yes. Yeah. Used to play the Singapore Open. It is a strong, strong golf course.
There is that. The water is in play.
Everywhere.
Oh,
and the rough, when I played it, was juicy.
Yeah.
If you shot under par for 4 days, when we played the Singapore, they used to set it up like a US Open. It was crazy tough. Yeah. But ominous signs.
Yeah.
Ominous. I mean, the last major Brooks won was the PGA last year.
Yep.
Was it last year? Yeah, and he almost won the Masters last year after winning in Orlando. And before that, he'd been playing pretty ordinary. Same sort of thing happened. He didn't have a great Masters, hasn't really been playing that well. And then all of a sudden, the form rises just before the major that he's won, what, 3 times?
Yes.
He's won the PGA 3 times and 2 US Opens.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that right?
Yeah, he hasn't won a British Open.
No.
Won 2 US Opens.
No Masters. Yeah, that
and
makes 3 sense.
3 PGAs.
Yep. One shy of the 6-pack.
Yeah. And, well, if he wins 6, he's the best player of this generation comfortably. I mean, he and Rory are on 5 majors each. But I think he is made for the majors, and I think he's going to win. How many do you reckon? Give us an estimate. I reckon he'll win 8.
8's about the good number, I think.
I reckon he'll finish with 8 majors, Brooks Koepka. Can we just talk about TPC Craig Ranch? I don't want to talk about the tournament necessarily because I know you've got them lined up in the Ping Global results.
Mm-hmm.
That golf course looked so bad on the TV.
Jeez. You've come in hot, haven't you?
Well, what?
Well, when you've got preferred lies, it's never a good sign, is it?
I'm talking about what frames that golf course. And I'm a big what frames a golf course person. I mean, if it looks nice, then it's a beautiful walk. But that golf course, the way the trees looked, the way their creeks looked, it just looks unkept.
Mm. You used to live near there, right?
Yeah, that's right. I used to live in Allen, Texas, would you believe?
Okay. Own the town. Mayor of Allentown.
I think it goes like Plano, Allen, then where this joint is. Where is it? McKinney or
McKinney.
Something?
McKinney.
Yeah, there's like 3 suburbs in a row. Mm. But the Byron Nelson, you know, it got moved away from that other joint because it was good.
Yeah, Los Colinas.
I used to work at the sister course. Los Colinas had 2 courses. Mm. They had where the Byron Nelson was being played, and now it's where a Champions Tour tournament gets played. It was played there a couple of weeks ago. It's just having, I mean, there's a golf club in Dallas called Dallas National.
Yes.
It's really good. It's one of those golf courses where, you know, there's only 150 members. Caddies are in the white overalls. You know, it's one of those joints. The who's who of Dallas are members there. What a shame they can't just get on that joint because it deserves better. The Colonial down the road at Fort Worth, famous.
Well, as I mentioned before, they don't play the best golf courses on the PGA Tour. The courses they play, I mean, this was a TPC course, which is owned by the PGA Tour, which is one of the reasons they go there.
Yeah.
And you're right, it should have been in much better standard and maybe beautify it and perhaps, well, we're talking to Steve Kuypert later this week in a bonus pod about the top 100 courses in Australia. Maybe they need to look into some of the criteria that goes into the top 100 courses.
That's where we're going next. We're going to the top 100 in just a second.
Oh, okay.
At least, you know, we've got Shady Oaks and the Colonial.
Yeah.
Down there at Fort Worth, that are really good places to play golf. Dallas just, I don't know.
Yeah.
They've got some good clubs.
I get it.
Dallas Athletic Club's fantastic. There are some really good golf courses, but my God, TPC.
Okay, I'm going to start.
Craig
okay.
Ranch was just hopeless.
You've just influenced my top five.
Have I?
Yeah, I think I might have to do top five worst courses on tour.
Good.
Nick, you said a moment ago they don't play the best courses on the tour. So
no.
From a hack question,
sure.
Why don't they?
A lot of the time, the infrastructure just isn't there to host tournaments like that. You need the surrounding towns and things like that, and the space especially. A lot of the best courses in the world don't have the space around it that's needed to host tournaments. A lot of them don't want tournaments there at the same time. Mm. They like their privacy of the golf club and things like that as well. There's a number of factors that go into it. Otherwise, you'd be... some of the best courses in the world,
Pine Valley, Cypress Point.
But in the UK, Royal Dornoch and all those sorts of ones, they'd be going to them every week if they could. But unfortunately, there's just no room.
Yeah. Mm. And the other thing, too, is I mean, I found Cypress Point is the best golf course I've ever played in my life.
Yeah.
But it was also very easy. It was an easy golf course. I got it on a ripper day.
If you get it on a calm day, it's certainly gettable.
It was a bit of breeze.
It was
not a breath. It was almost like playing in under a dome. And it was an easy, easy golf course. I mean,
how fast were the greens?
Yeah, they were pretty quick.
Because they can get them slick.
Yeah, they were quick. They were sort of sandbelt sort of style quickness.
You just cruised around in, 66?
I was actually 4 under walking up to the 16th hole. I'll tell the story. So the 16th hole, again, listener... just Google 16th at Cypress Point right now. The members played as a par 4, but it's a 240-yard straight across this huge, what would you call it?
Chasm
of water of the Pacific Ocean. So I'm 4 under par, and I hit 3 balls in a row into the water. That was the end of
my round. Well, you can go short, right, or left. Where did you go?
Short.
Oh, really?
Yeah, short with a 5-wood. I'm trying to knock a 5-wood. Anyway,
you have a 3-wood in the bag. You know that, right?
And I didn't even care. I was just so happy to be there. And then 17 and 18, a lot of people say it's the best 17-hole golf course in the world because 18's no good. 18's fantastic. I really like the 18th hole. I don't know what people are talking about when they say that sort of stuff. But... last week when we finished, as usual, the big story of the week came out the very next day, which was the Golf Digest Top 100. And we saw that Royal Melbourne West had been overrun by Cape Wickham. Now, you haven't played Cape Wickham. So
I haven't.
You can't make comment.
No.
But I will. It's not even close.
Really?
Cape Wickham's a wonderful, wonderful place to play.
Would you?
More than likely a top 10 course in the country.
Okay.
But it is not even close to going past Royal Melbourne West. Not even close.
And why is that?
Because spectacular doesn't count for great golf.
Okay.
Spectacular counts for spectacular.
Well, that's funny you should mention that because there's a course in my top five that is spectacular.
Is it?
But it's not a great course.
Yeah, there you go. So that's right. And, some of the holes are great, but they're not Royal Melbourne holes.
Okay, yep.
You know, and Royal Melbourne's spectacular in its own way. But there is an intangible that must be in golf course rating. And, the criteria, I had a read of the criteria. After it came out, I went and had a look at the criteria.
Okay.
It's too much criteria, in my view. The criteria is congested. And you've got to, all these voters, I'm not sure, I think there's over 200 of them. All the panel at Golf Digest, they've got to kind of report back via criteria. That's what it seems like to me anyway.
So they rate things out of 10, basically.
Yeah. There's no need for that.
Okay.
If it's the top 100, then that's it. That's your criteria. The best golf courses in the country. Simple as that.
Mm.
Because if there is a criteria, when you look at it, yes, there is a criteria for the word's not spectacular. But that's kind of what it is. And you can just see that's why Cape Wickham has got to number one, because it is a spectacular place. But this is how I do it. Would you want to play there every day for the rest of your life?
Yep.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay.
I don't want to play that golf course every day for the rest of my life. I'm much happier playing Royal Melbourne West, or even better, the Composite Course, because the Composite Course is that much better than Royal Melbourne West. It's not even funny, but they don't rate that one for some reason. Maybe we should...
they don't rate it because you can't play it every day of the year. They only probably play it 3 or 4 days of the year where they actually change. The members are allowed to play the composite maybe a couple of times a year, I believe.
Yeah.
That's what I've been told. So they can't rate it because you can't play it.
Yeah. Well, the Australian Open's played on it.
But I guess that's one of the questions around Cape Wickham. I mean, how many days of the year could you play there, given the breeze obviously gets up quite a bit?
Yeah, that's these Tasmanian courses, when I do my top 8, 9, 10 golf courses, the Tassie courses aren't in there.
Mm.
It's because when I've been down there, I've had to play in 7 and 8 day wind, 7 and 8 club winds.
7 to 8 clubs,
mate. My buggy gets blown over. You know those. You know the great big buggies they've got down there. They haven't got the little low ones. They've got these ones with the great big wheels.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They look like a kangaroo kind of.
Yep.
When I played Barnburgle for the first time, it was getting blown over.
Wow.
No matter where you left it, it was so windy. My face, one guy in our group, his face was getting sandblasted so badly that he walked in. It was just sand. His face, like, literally got sandblasted.
Wow.
Now, you just can't play there every day. So even, like, the windiest day at Kingston Heath and the windiest day at Royal Melbourne is not that bad. The windiest day at Peninsula Kingswood North, it's never that bad. And that's got to be taken into it.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned before about the criteria, Mark, and you were saying there's only one criteria that really should be. That's the playability one.
No, not the playability.
Every
just
day.
The best. If it's the top 100 courses, it's just that. It's the top. What courses are the best?
Okay. Devil's advocate.
Yes.
And I'm going to pretend I'm at Golf Digest for a second. If that's your criteria, that's a very subjective criteria.
Yes.
So having their, whatever it is, 5 or 6 or 7 criteria points that every single person who judges it has to have a rating on, I imagine what they're trying to do is trying to flatten it out and try to give a consistent criteria that is or measurable.
Yeah.
Is that a fair point?
I think that's why they do it, but they shouldn't, in my view. In my view, to get something that's really accurate as we possibly can, is you get 20 people who you think have an understanding, and this is the hard bit, it's the person in charge. These 20 people have to have an understanding, and with our budgets here in this country, I would just do a top 50. I wouldn't do a top 100. I would do a top 50, and I would make sure that these 20 people went to the what I consider the best 80 golf courses or 90 golf courses in the country, and then we talk business. And it's very simple. You give a golf course a score out of 100. That's it. What's this golf course out of 100? Royal Melbourne West, 97.
Hmm.
Really simple.
I get it. A lot of people will go, well, how did you get to that number? That's the thing. So that's where you do need some of this criteria.
That's right. That's where you've got to be able to separate the spectacular coastline of King Island and, you know, the beautiful rolling sand hills and tea tree and, you know, some of the old pines and, you know, some of the gorgeous old trees that were planted at Royal Melbourne all those years ago that they kind of half want to knock down these days. I hope they don't.
So what you're saying is TPC Craig Ranch won't make your top 100.
TPC Craig Ranch, it may well have sheep running around it in 20 years' time.
Well, it's going to be real interesting on Thursday. We'll have a bonus pod where we'll talk to Steve Kuiper. He's the bloke who's in charge of that top 100 list. Mm-hmm. And we can put these questions to him.
Did you see my little Twitter spat on
It's going back and forth.
I saw you lining people up, having a crack right, left and centre.
I just want to say before we
get
to
love a Twitter fight.
I'm up for it.
Yeah.
I'm up for it. I just want to say to people who might have caught that spat, it comes from a place of passion, not from a place where I hate Steve Kuiper off Digest.
No.
I'm just passionate about this stuff. I'm passionate about this stuff. And Cape Wickham just isn't the number one golf course in the country. It's funny, I spoke to Duncan Andrew, who owns it. And I was a guest speaker at Flinders last weekend. And by the way, Flinders, if we're talking about spectacular golf courses, Flinders is an absolute beauty. It's almost a forgotten treasure that we have in this country, Flinders Golf Course. It is a beauty. And the fourth hole, the coffin hole, is an absolute winner. It's a magnificent joint.
I love Flinders. It's great.
Flinders is a sensational
brilliant golf opening course. Hole. You get on the coastline down there. Peter Thompson used to play down there before Open Championships, is what I've been told.
Yep.
And I love it. It's great.
And so that should be on the list if we're talking about, you know, being the most spectacular. But you can't. It's just got to be an all-around view of somebody who understands golf.
Okay.
Very, very simple.
Well, speaking of Australian Golf Digest, they did a bit of did they retweet something from the Shark about...
No, I saw it was a story.
It was a story, was it?
It was a story.
About the PGA and LIV and all that sort of thing.
Well, Greg Norman wasn't happy with the PGA of Australia because he didn't mention the name Ripper GC.
Oh, I see.
And it's not the first time in his view, which I think is right.
Mm.
Which I think is right. So
the PGA were congratulating the Australians for winning, but they didn't say Team Ripper or LIV Golf.
They didn't get into the spirit of LIV Golf in their congratulations. What I gleaned from Greg Norman's
I'll have to look it up.
Tweets and things like that. Did you speak to anyone at the PGA this week? Did you?
Well,
I'm not always
in contact, but chatting, you know, with the tournaments obviously coming up here in Australia and things like that. The thing with the PGA and with LIV Golf that you have to realise is, and a lot of people go, well, you know, PGA and Golf Australia, they don't blah, blah, blah. Well, Golf Australia really doesn't have anything to do with LIV Golf, to be honest. Well,
Golf Australia just signed up to some junior
stuff. They did something at LIV Adelaide, didn't they?
Because they did.
And the thing you got to realise is the PGA of Australia has an allegiance, a strategic alliance, allegiance, whatever you want to call it, with the European or DP World Tour.
That's right.
So there's some business relationships going on there, whereas Golf Australia doesn't have that. They usually run amateur events. The only one they're really involved with is the Australian Open. Yeah, so they can almost do whatever they want, I suppose you could say. But the PGA of Australia, well, it is a different story there. So they're going to probably not go and promote LIV Golf or anything like that for obvious reasons, because they have an alliance with the DP World Tour. Now, at the same time, I don't think really anyone goes to them and say, do you have any comment on it? I don't think they really get approached at all. So they just want to congratulate the Aussie boys, say well done, and away you go. And then obviously Greg Norman has come along and said what he said.
Right. So just to put things into perspective here, I've got the tweet from the PGA of Australia.
Okay.
There's a fabulous picture of the Australian boys in the champagne, you know, like they do Grand Prix style
doing
afterwards. They weren't quite at the shoey stage.
Oh, okay.
They're just spraying each other with the champagne at this stage. From the PGA of Australia site, these guys are on a roll. Well played, Cam, Mark, Matt, and Lucas. Singapore team's title, and then they've got a little trophy and champagne.
Gotcha.
Cam and Leash tied second, and there's a golfer with a flexed muscle. So Greg's looked at that and said, that's not good enough. We want you to get into the spirit of LIV. Sorry, Greg, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what it sounds like to me. But, you know, when you see the picture of it, they kind of got into the spirit of it. Look, I think, you know, there's a bit of back and forth at the moment between LIV people and non-LIV people and the perception that the PGA of Australia and Golf Australia aren't on board with what's happening over there. But I look at that tweet. I think that's done in the right spirit.
Yeah, looks fine to me.
In my book with the picture and the boys celebrating.
Yeah.
And
for obvious reasons, as I said just earlier, with their relationship with the DP World Tour, they're not going to go down that route, but they want to congratulate the Aussie boys on a great win. But I heard it was, again, from people that went there. Some other sources were sort of saying, do you know how much they spent on the whole thing? I mean, it's unbelievable numbers. I was there last year, as I said in previous pods, when this happened last year with SEN Radio, and I just remember the build-out they're going, I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
They must have spent tens of millions on the build out. And then
it was
bigger
this year.
And it was bigger, exactly. And then you got to think, well, how much does the TV production cost? And I've heard somewhere in the figures around, what is it, $7 or $8 million? And I don't think they make any money off that. It's them paying for everything.
Mm.
And then there are other obvious costs as well. The prize money was
$30 million, wasn't it?
$30 million, is that what it was?
I think it was something in that, like the total.
Yeah. I mean, they sold out in merchandise and things like that. I don't see them making that much money, but
they're not selling $30 million of merchandise, I think.
No, exactly. So it's quite a budget they have anyway.
So it's interesting when you look at all those numbers, Nick and Mark, and you go, okay, well, How could they turn a profit? And there's just...
Well, because they wouldn't
have. No, they wouldn't have. So
their long-term goal is the team franchise model of hopefully selling them off for, I don't know, $700-800 billion for a team or something like that. Until it happens, they're, you know, burning cash, basically.
Well, it's funny you say that because a fella who is in production of all the live events has been talking to me quite a bit just of late. And I asked him whether he'd come on and talk us through the values of what they do. And he's really keen to come on and talk.
That'd be great.
He's really, really keen.
Awesome.
He heard our comments last week and wanted to come on and you know the comments where I said that the Caddies said a few players wouldn't be there at the end of their contracts.
Right.
James put in a call, which is great, spoke to me about it. He says that Bubba and DJ... James from Live Golf is saying they are locked in. They're going forward. Oh. So that's from his point of view. Mm-hmm. And he didn't really have much idea with Brooks what he was going to do.
Okay.
But he wanted, for the sake of fairness, to make sure that we mentioned it this week. So, James, thanks for that. We appreciate it. He also said that those guys are locked in until 2026, the end of 2026. Five-year deals.
Was it? Five years?
That's according to James.
So I thought we'll ask it was three and four-year deals. Okay.
Yeah, so he seemed to think they were five-year deals. So I'm really keen to get to James at some stage. I know we've got a lot of bonus pods to do, but we've got to get to him at some stage as well, because to get all that information from him would be very, very interesting. Mm. We've got to get a party buy-in.
Okay.
I'll see you on the 10th tee.
Yeah, you eat that and I'll get my wrap.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in, because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips, because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Thanks for listening to Talk Birdie to Me. And if you're up for it, we'd love you to subscribe, rate and share the podcast wherever you listen. And thanks to our great partners who make the show possible, Ping, they'll help you play your best. Watch My Numbers, the most powerful data-based golf app in the world. And the Golf Clearance Outlet, they beat everyone's prices. Now, back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen.
So you're talking about all the golf courses you're a member of at the start of the podcast, and you're not wearing your customary Ping golf shirt today. You're wearing your Islesworth number.
It's called Isleworth.
Whatever.
Not Islesworth.
Which is the best club you've ever been a member of?
The best club?
Yeah. I imagine you've been a member of quite a few. The West Australian clubs, the lot.
Well, it's like naming your best child, isn't it? Favourite child.
We'll get to that next.
Look, I love, I must admit, I love the National, because you've got so many different courses to play. I can't wait for the fourth one to be done as well. And Cathedral, where you're going. Next, later on this week.
Yes.
Later on this week.
That's going on
that's
Friday.
Spectacular as well.
I'll report back.
You know, I grew up playing at Mount Lawley, which is getting redone. Mm. As you see, I'm avoiding the question. I'm not going to say which. So.
What about Isleworth?
Isleworth over in the US, yes. That was spectacular as well, and was great while we were It's one of those courses that where when you go to the driving range, they'll say, well, what balls do you use? Well, Titleist. Okay, well, what sort of Titleist? And things like that. Right. So you get
to... they bring out a bucket of Pro V1Xs.
Exactly, whatever you want. And each pro, while you're there, they did the same thing. And they'd set the course up how you wanted for major tournaments coming up, I think I mentioned before. So,
shoes polished before you get out in the golf course. Oh, yes. Go to your locker, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
magnificent.
Yeah. The guys on the buff grinder. Yeah. Top five. Okay, the top five this week. And since you mentioned TPC Craig Ranch, where they played the CJ Cup for the Byron Nelson tournament.
It was a Ferdicum Ranch.
Yeah, so in honour of that, I'll go top. And look, these golf courses, they're not terrible courses. They're just some of the worst that I've played on the PGA Tour and the European Tour.
You're not up to PGA Tour standards.
I'm going for both sides of the pond. That way I don't, you know, so I'm going to get slaughtered around the world for these comments. But look, still go play them if you dare wish.
I like it when you get slaughtered.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's been plenty of that this past week. So anyway, on the we start with the PGA Tour, number five, yeah. Palm Beach Gardens, where they held what's called the Cognizant Classic now, was the Honda.
Right. Palm Beach Gardens.
Yeah, that's where maybe it was something else. Palm Beach National might have been called. Jack Nicklaus design. Yeah. Not my favorite golf course. Yeah, slog around a Florida, you know, lakes and things like that. It had the bear trap, which was kind of fun, but not my favorite golf course in the world. That's number five. Number four, heading across to Switzerland, Crans-sur-Sierre.
Is that the one where they play the Evian?
Yes.
Garbage?
Views are unbelievable, spectacular. But Seve redesigned it many, many years ago, and he made the greens all upside down saucers so that you couldn't keep the ball on there, and it was just a short game contest. Right. So I actually played well around there, but it's not the greatest course
just
in the world.
Just as well the course isn't in Australia, because if you've got spectacular views, it might be number one.
Oh, come on, Mark. All right, number three, speaking of a spectacular view, some of the best you will find on the PGA Tour down there in San Diego.
Don't you dare.
Torrey Pines.
Oh, my. Really?
Yep. Not a great course. Not a great course at all. Power greens have three-footers where you just miss the hole completely and you wonder what happened.
I played there just before they had the US Open and we were on the way over to Augusta. And they hadn't cut the rough for months.
Yeah.
It was...
brutally tough.
It was so stupid. We had all we had all these guys who, you know, just love golf. They're all 20 markers playing it. And the poor buggers, they must have lost a truckload of balls. They all had 150 each.
Well, before that US Open, they had that competition they do in the US. Can a five handicapper break 100? And I don't think anyone did. 105 might have been the best.
I shot 75.
Number two, the greatest disappointment in my coach's life when he visited. And he said, Nick, I want to play this golf course just around the corner from Isleworth. I said, Neil, we don't want to go there. It's not a good course. Bay Hill.
Jeez,
he walked off, and he's gone, well, what a load of crap that was.
You truly were. I did warn him. Before. Yeah, that's good.
I did warn him. Yeah. It's not the greatest. Look, it's got, I think the finishing holes, 16, 17, 18, are quite good, but the rest of the course, not so much.
Looks nice on the TV.
It looks fantastic on the TV.
Looks much better than TPC Craig Ranch.
Yes. Well, that's not in my list because I've never played it.
Yeah, okay.
And number one. Again, has two really good golf holes. We're across in the middle of England now. The 10th hole and the 18th hole are fantastic. And it's where we actually met, Wilbur and I. It's where he first came on the bag, played the first two rounds. My wife, Alana, was caddying, and she said, Nick, we need to find a caddy. And she found Wilbur.
Belfry or something?
He caddied for me at the Belfry.
There we go.
There you go. He's been my caddy for a long, long time after.
Because you said the 10th hole. Is that the 10th hole where
Seve knocked it on? Yeah, famous. Great little par four around the corner. So down the hill and in amongst the trees. And 18 is a good finishing hole as well, but the rest of it, not so much.
Yeah, there's another one for you to look up, folks. Seve Ballesteros, 10th hole, Belfry.
And also the 18th. They never got that on film, did they? Nick Faldo said the greatest shot he ever saw was Seve hitting a 3-wood out of the fairway bunker on 18 onto the green.
Over all the water. Oh, my
from
God.
The upslope. Nick's going, I'd just lay it up with a wedge, and Seve pulled the 3-wood and knocked it on. So
ridiculous.
Yeah. Anyway, but freak. Apologies to some of those golf clubs. Look, I still enjoy playing them, but as a competitor rather than a fan of the golf course.
Everybody needs feedback, Nick.
Bring it on.
Even golf courses and even former professionals.
Okay.
Hello, Dan.
Well, we have had quite a bit of feedback this week. We've got a lot to get through. We've got some questions for you guys, which would be good, and a couple of whacks, in fact, quite a few whacks.
For Nick?
A bit of both.
Disappointing.
Yeah, a bit of both.
Go on.
Okay, Adam Clydesdale has written in. Interesting comments to start the show last week, boys, on Cape Wickham. Lads, things change. Royal Melbourne isn't number one anymore and doesn't have a sense of entitlement. That's how it is. Times change, just as they have with Liv. To be unsure that that is the number one golf event in Australia, as you were, is to be out of touch. It has the best field, attracts the most interest nationally and internationally, and has the biggest crowds. It isn't even close. That's a double whack.
Yes. Yeah, I think it is. There's a few good points there. The Australian Open doesn't get 94,000 through the gates in 4 days, let alone three. So you made a few good points, but if I'm a kid growing up and I'm practicing away, I still want to win the Australian Open first. If I had a choice between winning Adelaide, live Adelaide and the Australian Open, I'm taking the Australian Open every single day of my life.
You are just encouraging people, Mark.
Well, it's a fact.
It's a fact, yeah.
Okay.
You're the same, Nick.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
The majors and your National Open.
Thank you.
Dan Parnell has written in. Dan has said, "Hey, Nick and Marco, we went to live Adelaide from Perth, and I agree with you, Nick. Very hard to watch on TV. I find the background noise the background music really annoying, but it's not overwhelming on the course outside of the party hole, of course. Mm. We followed Brooks, Rahm, and Bryson for a few holes each, and it was the best golf experience we have ever had." Mm. Love the podcast.
Yeah, Brooks. I heard those three players.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, you'd walk over broken glass to go and watch them play, and that's a fact.
Yep. I heard on course, and again, I was there last year, although I was in my booth most of the time with headphones on, yeah. So I got it drowned out a little bit. But on course, I hear it's phenomenal. I
mean, apparently they turned it down a bit this year.
Yeah, and we saw by the crowds how much everyone loved it.
Yep.
Stephen Roach wrote on Twitter, and in fact, Stephen wrote quite a few things on Twitter, so I can't read them all because it literally there's about eight. But I've just got a couple here that I thought.
I think I responded to him on Twitter as well, but you go, Dan.
You did. So Roachy said, "A rant to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen at Talk Birdie to me. I love the pod and I love your TV commentary. However, the apathetic analysis of live events is not good enough, especially from Nick O'Hearn. Average daily crowd for the Australian PGA and the Open combined was 13,000. For LIV, average daily crowd, 33,000. The infrastructure and organisation of a second-year event was incredible." Now, Stephen had a whole bunch of other stuff he said, but that's kind of the gist of what he was talking about.
Yep.
Apathetic, having or showing little or no feeling or interest.
You looked it up before I did.
Were you looking it up too?
Yeah, I was about to.
Well, it's a good word. It's a good word and probably appropriate in this point of time.
So, Nick, what do you say? What do you say to Roachy?
Well, I'm trying to remember what I actually responded to, but nice rant. Gave him the clapping emoji. Might have to get you to send me each events analysis, because he did go in depth there. That was very impressive. I quite like that. I enjoyed it on site last year, although a bit loud. Just find it hard to watch on TV. But great that it's getting people who might not go to golf get interested. And that's been my view all along. It's something that I find hard to watch on TV. So it's more of an exhibition to me rather than a traditional tournament. We all know that. We've spoken about this over many podcasts. So, but good luck to the people that love it. I'm not begrudging them at all.
Hey, Roachy, this one's for you. Rant. Speak or shout at length in an angry, impassioned way.
And he did.
Now, Michael agrees with Roachy. Michael replied to Roachy and said, "Hey, I couldn't agree more. I love the podcast, but the way Nick and Mark, you're treating Liv with such disdain is embarrassing." Embarrassing.
Mm.
No, it's not the stain. It comes second.
LIV has provided the Australian golf with its biggest and most successful tournament in back-to-back years, something that Golf Australia needs to confront and improve on.
And if you listen to Tom Morris, who usually talks about AFL, he had a story last week saying that we might get two. So I imagine that'll be Clive Palmer and your favourite golf course where you won the Australian PGA.
Appert Coolum.
Yeah. I played there about 2 years ago, and there was a lot of talk that Clive wanted it. Now, he didn't get it. Adelaide got it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was talk when I was there that the people for LIV who run it made a trip up there, and they advised that what was in between the tree lines had to be cleaned up.
Right, okay.
And it was all burnt out when I went
back. Oh, okay.
So there's no doubt Clive is doing his best. He's bending over backwards to try and get one.
Well, if, again, from a LIV perspective, if you look at it through their eyes, their most successful event is down here in Adelaide. Why don't they do a three-week run?
I need two. Yep.
Do a two or a three-week run.
It's a long way to come down for just one
week.
Just
one,
isn't
yeah.
it?
Exactly.
So if you came down to Adelaide and then you went to Coolum.
Up to Coolum.
My God.
Maybe stopping at Sydney on the way back. Who knows?
You up for one last whack on LIV?
I keep going.
Because I really like this one. I think this is a good
okay,
one.
Come on. Yeah.
So this is from Julie Hooker. If I'm right, I think we've spoken about Julie on the pod before, and I think she's from Port Douglas or somewhere up there. She had a masterclass question.
Wouldn't it be ironic if Julie Hooker actually hit slices or something like that? She actually faded the ball.
So Julie said, I love you guys and I love the podcast, but you all came across like disapproving nanas about LIV. I was one of the 55 pluses that travelled to Adelaide, and there were thousands of us, men and women. We all loved it, and we appreciated having every LIV golfer there and enjoyed every second. Thank God for your phone chat with Sam from the Golf Clearance Outlet, who said how great LIV was.
Mm-hmm.
Good on you, Jules.
Yep. I think on site it's fantastic.
Everybody I've spoken to went there. They said it this year, and they said it the year before as well. It's not the best sporting event they've been to. Not the best golf event they've been to. It's the best sporting event they've been to. So everyone who's going absolutely loves it.
Yeah, so final word on LIV in terms of the feedback today. Clifford Etzel's written in Clifford, and we'll leave the final word with him. I watch all golf, PGA, LIV, DP, International Series, Australian Tour, and all I want as a fan of golf is for the slagging off of each other to stop. Watch what you want to watch, and whatever happens in the future will be.
Give him a prize. Have we got prizes?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
We've never done that, have we?
We should organise the best prize.
All right, I'm going to send him a book.
Send him a
book. I'm going to send him my book, How to Play Your Best Golf.
Yeah.
That'll be the prize.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And next week, I'll send him my DVD, which is 87 Ways to Play Golf. Mate.
Jeez.
Is that a prize or is that
a... If
you
want to simplify your game, it's the only way.
There's going to be plenty of copies of that left, I reckon. Pete said... Cape Whippen, Cape Wickham isn't even the top four Australian courses according to golf.com.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so the big international lists, which actually I think they do it professionally. They get people to do it properly. Cape Wickham, it's not in one of the top 100. It's not in it. It's in one of the others. Might be the Golf Digest one because of the criteria. Anyway.
Mm. Lawrence Cavill wrote in all honesty, how would we plebs know we're not allowed on Royal Melbourne and Cape Wickham is halfway over Bass Strait? I've played over 250 courses and I rate Kingston Heath my number one.
Well, you're not silly for saying that because a lot of people have it as number two. Ian Baker Finch thinks it's better than Royal Melbourne West, Royal Melbourne Composite.
It did rate as number one once, didn't it? Maybe
one year.
10 years ago
and,
or something?
And I'm a member and a lover of Kingston Heath, but it's not the number one golf course in this country. It's not. It's a very good course, but it's not the number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after you came in here fired up like a bloody demon last week, Mark, about the whole top 100 thing, we put a poll up.
Oh, good.
And the poll was... Okay. Did Golf Digest get the number one course in Australia right or wrong in awarding it to Cape Wickham? And we gave them three options.
What are the options first?
Cape Wickham deserved to be number one. That's option number one. Option number two, it should have been Royal Melbourne. And option number three, another course. You want to hear the results?
Yes, I do.
Yes, please.
Another course, 21%.
21%?
Another course?
21%?
Another course that was not one of those two.
They must be Kingston Heath members.
Yeah, Kingston Heath got a couple of votes, yes. Cape Wickham, 13%.
13?
Royal Melbourne, 65%.
Yeah, good.
According to Talk Birdie to me listeners. And we had a lot of votes too, by the way.
Now, I believe you just got a text message as I just got the exact same text message and you wouldn't believe this turned up. Right now, this instant, I kid you not, folks, it just hit both Nick and my phones.
Hmm.
Read on, please.
Okay.
Oh, who?
Yeah, a good buddy of mine, and you know him very well, has just been down there, funnily enough. He said, boys, I know you are about to interview the guy from Golf Digest later on this week. He said, I just played, and as in today, at Cape Wickham. Little wind and sun, perfect conditions. How this course is rated number one is a joke. Picturesque, absolutely. Design fair, fairways had too many tiers. holes 15 and 16, and greens very slow and furry. Top 10, no. Top 20, maybe.
There you go.
Jeez.
Okay.
Righto.
Well.
I think that person's a Royal Melbourne member.
Yes,
some balance
he
there.
Is.
Just for a little bit of balance.
A little bit of balance.
But I agree.
He doesn't hold back.
I agree with everything you've said, Mark. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
It's not me.
Is that person the kind of person who knows what they're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
A golf enthusiast.
Yes.
Okay. We talked about rakes last week. Rakegate. Almost.
Yes.
I think we should have a bonus pod on rakes. On rakes.
Yeah, you can do it by yourself.
I think we should.
So the name of the person is Golf Beer Coffee. So I suspect that's not their birth name. I could be wrong. I may be wrong.
Sounds like what he enjoys.
Anyway, what he said here is, hey, boys, Eastwood Golf Club in Melbourne's East has garden rakes. The bunkers aren't flash and they're made worse by the tiny rakes. Decent rakes aren't expensive. And I agree, make all the difference.
It is true.
Garden rakes.
Mm.
Garden rakes in golf course bunkers is a disgrace.
Not going to work.
Sorry.
Question for you boys from Kiwi Joe, who we've spoken to before. Hey, guys, last week you mentioned that the pairings at the Zurich Classic should be guys from the same country. Is this solely a PGA Tour sanctioned tournament? Ryan Fox is currently the only Kiwi on the PGA Tour. So does that mean that, based on what you're saying, he would not be able to enter the event because he's the only Kiwi? Do you feel the World Cup of Golf should become a big event again? The last one was in 2018, and the list of winners is amazing. I saw, Nick, you played a couple of times.
Yes, I certainly did. Now, the tournament in New Orleans, I can't remember the criteria anymore, but I think the way it works is whoever is the highest ranked player gets to choose his partner, I think, from memory.
That's the way it used to be, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way it used to be. Now, obviously, you want to play with the person you want to play with, so I'd love it if you could choose anyone you want. As long as they're on a professional tour around the world, like Ryan Fox, he could go, okay, I might want to play with one of the Hillier boys or something like that, who fell
Kazuma.
In New Zealand.
Maybe Kazuma. He wants to play with Kazuma.
There you go, yeah. And the Swedes could play together and so That's on it. And so forth. So,
the top-ranked player can choose whoever he wants from that country.
Yes. The World Cup used to be decided like that as well.
Yeah.
Because one of the World Cups I played in, I'm trying to remember who I chose. I chose Nathan Green. He played with me. We went up to China. Remember Greeny?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Won $500,000 in a hole-in-one on the 12th hole at the Australian Masters.
Exactly right.
Got a message from the US here, boys.
Thank you,
James from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez, hey guys, I've subscribed to the pod via your connection to the delightful Hannah Gregg.
Oh, great.
I will play my desert golf in Arizona, though. I would struggle worrying about tiger snakes on every tee. Cheers.
Mm.
Fair enough.
Rattlesnakes over there.
Yeah.
The crocodiles are the ones I can't get
over. Yeah.
Golf with crocodiles.
Yeah, that is interesting, isn't it? And they don't seem to be too worried
alligators.
About it.
Thank you.
Alligators.
Alligators.
Although I've played up at a place called Groot Island in the far north of Australia where there were crocodiles going through the creeks up there in the Northern Territory.
Which one's more dangerous?
Crocodiles, I think.
Oh, crocodiles, yes, absolutely. Salties particularly.
Mm. Of course they
more dangerous than freshies.
Yeah.
Got a question for you from Rob. Rob has said, I'm planning a golf trip for the lads and I to northern New South Wales with the primary aim of playing Bonville. And I'm wondering if you guys could recommend other must-play courses in the northern New South Wales region. We're happy to hit the road seeking unforgettable golf experiences once we have ticked Bonville off the list. Looking forward to hearing from you. Cheers, right, Rob.
Bonville, northern New South Wales. I'm just going to say north of Sydney.
Okay. Yeah, I'll leave this one to you, I think.
Newcastle, mm-hmm. which I have never played.
Actually, I played Tranny Champs there many, many years
was
ago.
It good?
Was it? What's it called? Stockport or something like that?
I thought it was Stockton. I thought it was just Newcastle Golf Club.
I think that whatever that one was that I played up there, where's
that top 100 list?
Very, very tree lined, and I was not hitting it very straight. I remember that week and wasn't pretty.
I just apologise to Rob. I don't think Newcastle is quite northern New South Wales, Mark.
We'll
go with it.
It's the best I can do.
Okay, we'll go with it.
Let me just see if it's in.
He said north of Sydney. So.
Yeah.
Newcastle is currently number 31.
31, there you go.
In this list that has Cape Wiccan as number one.
Oh.
So
mm-hmm.
take it for what that's worth.
So you're saying Newcastle's worth a look? I'm ignoring that.
I'm saying Newcastle is ranked on this particular list as number 31.
Mate, if you keep going this way, Steve from Golf Digest may not come on the pod on Thursday.
I hope he doesn't listen to this first.
Righto. So Newcastle, you're saying, is worth a look for...
it's number 31, yeah.
Nick, anything, or you got nothing?
Cypress Lakes,
yeah.
Up in the Hunter Valley.
That was a TP, yeah. Which one was that?
WebEx Players Series event, yeah. Go chat with my mate Brett Holdway, who's up there, and make sure you have a good time.
Actually, listener, if you know of great Northern New South Wales golf clubs that should be on this list, please get in contact with our socials.
Yep. Couple of last comments here, boys. Glenn has got a question for Nick. I'm curious, Nick, about your left thumb position on the grip in your One Hopper Masterclass video. Do you recommend that position?
My left thumb position. I'm going to have to go back and have a look at the video because
that's my bottom hand.
Yeah. It's generally just across.
Was it sitting on top?
Do you want me to play the video
Yeah,
now?
Let's have a look. Yeah.
Here we go. Have a look at this, Nick. While you're looking at it, my Masterclass is chipping into the grain. Okay, a little bit later.
I like it.
It's what stuffed so many people up.
Gee, that was a good shot.
Yeah, it was a good shot.
First take.
It was a good camera work too. Oh,
my wife is the best.
Is it on the top or is it on the side of the grip?
It's my normal golf grip. Yeah, okay. Where as the bottom hand, the thumb is not exactly on top. It's just slightly to the side. Yeah, so where you'd normally have it, basically.
So there's no specific reason for it as such.
No, I tend to, pull it up and down a bit just because I'm getting a feel for it, but no.
Yeah, gotcha.
Nothing different.
No more feedback, surely.
Two to end on. Paul Carrigan has said, I'm dying to know what Monty did to you, Mark. Bonus pod, perhaps?
I'll tell the story one day.
Bonus pod,
yeah. Wow. Okay. I'll tell the story of the final round in the 1992 Australian Open at the Lakes Golf Club.
Ooh, geez, okay. That sounds good.
Where I shot 72 and he shot 73.
Last one here from... The last one here from Mark Goodman. Last week, boys, a listener had Shank on Wordle. Now, before I go out and play the monthly medal at the weekend, Wordle has Slice.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I thought it was going to be Hozzle.
Yes. I think it has to have five letters, so I don't think it does. Anyway, that's the feedback. But lots of it, and keep it coming. We're getting heaps of it and we love it.
Time for the Ping Global results.
Yes, and in honour of my good friend Stephen Roach on Twitter, I'm going to start with the LIV Singapore results this week at Sentosa.
You've been bullied into doing that, haven't you?
No, I'm only kidding. We'll go with the... No, no, I will. I'll do it for Roachie. But as we know, Brooks Koepka, ominous signs, had the victory there in Singapore.
Fourth one.
I do notice that he doesn't wear the team logo. He's on Team Smash, just Nike. So is that a bit of a statement? Or I would have thought they would have had to wear the team logos because I think everyone else does.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know what the deal is. Well, when we talk to James Watson from LIV.
That'd be a good one.
We'll put that in the question list.
Yes. Tied for second, though, was...
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Cam Smith and Mark Leishman, they carried the team on that final day when four scores were to count, because Lucas Herbert struggled a bit, shot 74, Matt Jones shot 70. So those two, with 64 and 66 respectively, carried the Rippers to a three-shot win for back-to-back wins over the Fireballs and the Cliques. Now they've got a month off for a lot of the players. Some of them get to play the PGA in a couple of weeks, but they've got a month off before Liv Houston. On the PGA Tour at your favourite course, TPC Craig Ranch, Mark, the CJ Cup at Byron Nelson was played, where Taylor Pendrith, the Canadian, wins his first PGA Tour event. Ben Coles kind of made a bit of a mess of that final hole. He had a one-shot lead playing the last. I don't know if you saw it. He was in the bank at the front. Not too difficult a chip shot, but he didn't use a good technique on it.
No.
Did you see it?
I thought it was a short backswing.
Yeah. On that one, you've either got to play the explosion shot where you give it a good rip, or you put it back in the stands, come down sharp on it. He came into it shallow with just a very short swing.
He went right in the middle.
Did
you ever see the Karate Kid, the 1984 version?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Miyagi said, you want to listen closely to this.
Oh, dear.
You do karate, it's like walking down the road. You either do one side of the road, yes, one side of the road, no. If you go down the middle, you get squished like grape, all right? And that's what he did. He did a half chip shot, half flop shot.
He was in between.
And he got squished like a grape.
Dear me.
Mr. Miyagi would be very disappointed.
You know what that reminds me of?
What's that?
What Yoda said.
Oh, no.
There is no try. There is only do.
Oh. Here we go. Jeez, we're going off on tangents today.
Can we continue with the global
results,
please?
We will. Anyway, Ben finished in second position behind Taylor. So congratulations to the Canadian. All five Aussies made the cut. Minwoo Lee was the best of them at tied for 24th. Just prior to the tournament, there was also the DP World Tour's G4D Tour CG Cup going on as well. That was a mouthful. And that's the golf for disabilities being played over there, where our own Lachlan Wood was over there. Had a real good chance to win that one. He came fourth position behind England's Mike Brown, who had a one-shot win over Kip Poppett and Juan Postigo. Remember seeing them at the All Abilities tournaments here in Australia, and they're fantastic to watch. So congratulations to Mike on the win there. And that's
stunning.
That's the first time they've gone across to the US since the G4D Tour was first started over there in Europe. Now back in Europe, well, actually not back in Europe because they were in China. DP World Tour played the Volvo China Open in Shenzhen.
What a strange finish.
Third round got cancelled. So it was a 54-hole event, but Spain's Adrian Otegi won by a stroke from Guido Migliozzi. But Sebastian Soderbergh, did you see it? He finished tied for third, but he made a double bogey on the last. Needed par to send it into extras, but unfortunately pulled it into the hazard. He opened the day with a pulled shot into a hazard as well, so gave about three or four shots away there. So a tough loss for him. The Australasians, Jason Scribner tied for 23rd, and Daniel Hillier as well joined him at that spot. On the Asian Tour, they had the Mekong Open in Korea, where Korea's Hong-Tak Kim.
Jeez, you could.
Took me a couple of goes.
Impressive.
You know his nickname? He's King of the Screen.
King of the Screen?
King of the Screen. He's got 11 wins on the Korean G Tour Simulator Golf Tour. So they have, in Korea, they have simulated golf tour, which is televised, by the way. He's got 11 wins on it.
Jeez.
Police.
Now, he defeated, and if I can get this one out, I'm doing very well, Thailand's Chonglatit Chongbungnam.
Oh, wow.
That was good.
That was good. On the first playoff hole, so a fantastic win for the King of the Screen. I watched the end of it, and it was actually a really good tournament. But best of the Aussies was Junsuk Lee, who actually plays the Korean Tour regularly, but made an appearance there on the Asian Tour, given it was in Korea. In Japan, they played the Chunichi Crowns, which is a limited field invitational. Ren Yonezawa shot 65 to win this historic event. Best of the Australasians, Mike Hendry tied for 16th. Anthony Quayle tied for 59th. On the Epsom Tour, they're in Tucson, Arizona, where Madison Young went 6-under in four holes. That's Peter O'Malley-like, isn't it? He went 7-under in five to win the Scottish Open. But 6-under in four holes on the front nine to ensure her first win. New Zealand's Fiona Xu was tied for 20th. And Suo tied for 37th. On the Champions Tour, by the way, did you see on the Champions Tour, Fluff McCowan and Jim Furyk split up after 25 years?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, a bit of a, not sad, but I mean, it was very amicable.
Right, eh? Foss still wants to work. He's about 85 years old.
He's 76 years old, right, but Furyk has had some injuries. Said, mate, just keep going and working for CT Pan on the PGA Tour. It's time for you to do it full time rather than come back to caddy for me. So, imagine lugging the bag around at 76. That's so impressive. So, anyway, they were playing the Inspirity Invitational back at the Woodlands. They keep going back to the Woodlands, don't they?
It's 2 weeks in a row.
Incredible. But it was 36 holes because the final round was washed out. And one of the nicest guys on tour, who was on a sponsor's invite, Scott Dunlap, got the win. So fantastic win for Scott. And a good buddy of mine, Stuart Appleby, tied for second, who just had his birthday a few days ago. So happy birthday, Apples. No doubt celebrating the tied second finish with the family. And Steve Allcourt is tied fourth. Rod Pamplink, best of the rest of the Aussies, are tied for 10th. And then on the Legends Tour, Scott Hens came so close to winning over there. Peter Baker got him in a playoff. Hendy had a two-shot lead with three to go, but unfortunately there was a bit of a dramatic swing and they ended up going into a playoff there. They were actually playing in Barbados, the Legends event hosted by Ian Woosnam.
Nice.
So they go all. That was sort of the first event on there on the European seniors.
What's Ian Woosnam famous for apart from golf on the European tour?
Probably drinking pints, I would imagine.
That and was never beaten in an arm wrestle.
Really?
Ever.
Low anchor point, right?
Low. Well, he's
low pivot,
yep. And super strong.
Super strong. Yeah.
I can,
wow.
I can just imagine him now. He's got a pint in his left hand, and he's winning an arm wrestle with his right.
Fantastic. And just on the local front, we had the Victorian PGA Associates Championship up at Tokemoel, where I was there last week. Daniel Gill from Peninsula Kingswood won on the first playoff hole from Baxter Droop, who's from Yarrawonga, with the National Sheridan Johnson one shot back. So congratulations to Daniel on taking out the title there.
Great stuff. I used to play with, who's the Droopy? What's his name?
Baxter Droop.
Baxter Droop. I used to play with his dad.
Evan
Droop.
Yeah.
Great man.
Good for a very talented family.
Absolutely they are.
Well, that is the Ping Global results. And thanks to Watch My Numbers, which is the most powerful database golf app in the world. You can download from the from Google Play or the App Store. Masterclass time.
Mm.
Okay, so I'm being very selfish here. I'm doing this one on myself. So I was playing golf the other day, and it was the first hole. It was in the morning, and I hit a shot back right of the first at Kingston Heath. And that's where everybody walks to the second tee. So I'm into the green, and I fluffed my first shot.
Is this a little bump and run?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Fluffed my first shot. I had the heel in the air, technique that I talk about every week. Move 5 steps forward.
This is the toe down method.
A heel up method. Yeah, that's it. Second chip, did exactly the same and made a 6.
Oh, dear.
And I saw something that I was doing that was incorrect.
Okay.
And it was because it was nice and early and I hadn't had a warm up and all this kind of stuff. But this is a masterclass for how to chip into the green. Now, one, with your practice swings, you're allowed to bruise the ground in practice swings. You're not allowed to test the surface, so you test your lie. But it's a bit like bunkers. When you get into a bunker, you shuffle your feet in to get some grip, so we say. But what you're doing when you get that grip is that you understand how deep or hard or soft the bunker is. You can kind of do the same when you're chipping with short couch grass. And you do that by getting next to the ball and having a couple of practice swings where you bruise the surface. I didn't do that. So it wasn't in my head that I was into the grain. So that's the first thing to do. First thing to do is have your practice swings and bruise the ground. Don't take a divot, just bruise the ground a little bit. If you feel like you're into the grain, then this is your setup. You have the heel up in the air. You use whatever club is correct in that situation. You do it like a putt. The shaft isn't going straight up and down. You can if you're very, very talented and have hands of gold, like Nico Hearn
and
Jordan Spieth.
Putting grip?
No, I use the same grip. I just grip down the club a little bit with the heel in the air, like I said. But here's the best bit, and this is what I didn't do as well. You keep your front foot flat. If your knees go because you're trying to kind of help the thing in the air or doing whatever, that's no good. If you keep your front foot dead flat on the way back, on the way through, and mainly your weight is on that left foot, then your leg, then when your knees go forward, you won't lower yourself and catch the ball a little bit heavy. If you catch the ball heavy or behind the ball into the grain, you look like a really bad player.
So you're saying that your front foot is rolling onto its left?
My knees are going when I do it badly. The knees, the bottom of my you know, the bottom of my platform when I'm standing there chipping is my knees and my hips, and they go too much, lowers my body.
Mm.
And
common fault.
I made a six. Right. And well, my day was ruined, Nick. On the first,
you didn't come back from that?
I didn't come back.
How many points?
27
Ooh,
points.
Okay.
It was a disaster.
Okay.
All because I didn't bruise the ground and keep my front foot flat all the way through the chip with the heel in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a video done. I might even try and reenact it.
Well, I played Royal Melbourne West last week. I had 31 points. I didn't play that well, but... Yeah. I must admit, the greens and the course is in spectacular condition right now.
Is it the number one golf course in the country, Nick?
In my opinion, yeah. It ranks for me, but I haven't played Cape Wickham. I've got to see. Now I need to go down there. Maybe that's why they did it. Maybe they're trying to get the Tasmanian tourism on board here. I don't know.
There's something going on between this and Golf Digest. Well, can we make the call to Steve Kuiper and see if we can get him on quickly, please?
We will talk to him on Thursday. A bonus pod will be up on Thursday talking to Steve and putting it to him about your concerns about that list.
Yes, I have some grave concerns about the list.
All right, boys.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
And thanks for listening to Talk Birdie to Me. We appreciate you listening and getting involved. And a huge thanks to our fantastic partners. Without them, the show just wouldn't be the same. Watch My Numbers. Download the app and turn your bogeys into birdies by analysing and improving your game like never before. The Golf Clearance Outlet. Awesome prices on great gear. You can see them in Melbourne, Sydney, Brizzy, Perth, and online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. And Ping. See your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting. They'll help you play your best. If Ping's good enough for Nick O'Hearn, well, that says it all. And we'd love you to get involved with the show. You can leave a voicemail with any comments or questions at talkbirdietome.com.au or send an email or comment on the socials. And if you can share the pod with a friend, well, we'd love that. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.